The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
Today I'm joined by Kimberly Harrington, the US Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Bureau of Energy Resources. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Please tell us about your visit.
Great. Well, thanks again for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. This is actually my second trip to Namibia, but my first in my current role. So I am Deputy Assistant Secretary for Energy Resources at the State Department. We engage on issues related to energy security, energy access, and decarbonization with important partners like Namibia. And I'm here because I think it's a really exciting and interesting time in Namibia on the energy space, both in traditional oil and gas, and of course, renewable energy, where Namibia has incredible potential. I actually was here to sign a memorandum of understanding between the U.S. government and the Namibian government to increase our partnership in the renewable space and really make sure our governments are working in partnership together to get more investment in the renewable space.
What are some of the major concerns that the MOU seeks to address in terms of resource management?
Yeah, well, I'd say, look, there is an incredible amount of opportunity in the renewable space. Globally, investment in renewables was actually double that of oil and gas worldwide. So this is really a market opportunity. I think for Namibia and really any country, it's important to have a diverse set of energy resources, right? And Namibia is luckily blessed with so many, but you never want to rely too much on, let's say, imports from another country or one specific type of energy. You really want to diversify as much as possible. And that makes your systems more resilient. So like, for instance, if you have a lot of hydro and there's a drought, well, you want to have other sorts of inputs so that you're not so reliant or vulnerable to things like climate change. So I think countries around the world, not just Namibia, are realizing that they need to approach their energy systems that way. We certainly are in the United States as we integrate more wind, more solar, but it really is about this diversification. So with this MOU, we aim to bring all the different tools from the U.S. government and from the Namibian government to bring in more investment in the renewable space.
What are some of the first areas Namibia would need to strengthen the energy governance practices on, since the production of energy is a rather new sector for the local economy?
Right. Well, I mean, I think, frankly, Namibia has a really good reputation as having a strong, transparent investment climate. I just came from Africa Oil Week, where I was talking to governments and companies who are investing in sub-Saharan Africa. And really, Namibia shines as having a very transparent investment climate. I think when you are adopting broadly new technologies in general, this goes for clean energy, but really anything, it's important to have frameworks in place that make the rules of the road very clear. So when investors come in, they know what they're getting into. They know what contract terms are. They know how to access financing, and they know how to advance really bankable projects. In this sense, we're talking about clean energy, but it's really across the board, whether it's mining or whether it's hydrocarbons.
What is the main aim and importance of this MOU, taking the bigger picture into account of the world's energy crisis?
Yeah, so I think, you know, especially with the advent of new technologies like AI, and just the incredible amount of energy it takes to run data systems around the world, I think we're realizing that we need more sources of energy, right? And it's a matter of elevating and making any sources of energy that we're using more efficient, decarbonizing them, making them as clean and as efficient as possible. So I think that that's really how we're approaching, how both the United States is approaching this, but how our partner countries are as well. As you look to industrialize, as you look to bring more value added to your economy, you're going to need more energy. So you want to be able to use all the tools you have at your disposal. And certainly in a place like Namibia, looking to integrate renewables, of which are very, very abundant. I know that from being on the ground just for 24 hours. It's a smart thing to do, and the government is approaching it in a very smart way. But like I said, worldwide in the United States, we are also taking a same hard look. How do we fuel data centers? How do we look at many different sources of energy to meet the needs of our people? And to also get that balance right between energy security and climate. We all have goals to reach and pledges that we made through COP and through other international forum like the Paris Climate Accord. So we need to meet those goals and still provide energy security and reliable sources of energy to our people.
With Namibia being a small carbon contributor, how would cutting down on emissions locally affect the overall environment, and would it make a meaningful impact since every little effort counts?
Well, I would say I think Namibia is on a really great path to develop its oil and gas sector in a very responsible and reliable way that also takes into account decarbonization. So, you can develop oil and gas resources in a way that is as environmentally friendly as possible. One of the things that we have been really concentrating on is methane abatement. So methane is essentially another word for natural gas, is a byproduct of oil, but also oftentimes in the oil and gas industry, methane is flared or vented. Methane is a really potent greenhouse gas. It turbocharges climate change much more than other types of greenhouse gases. So in the energy sector, reducing methane emissions, making sure that these practices like flaring and venting aren't taking place are not only good for the environment, but they also make sure you're efficiently using a resource because you can capture that gas and reuse it to meet the energy needs of your people. So that's something we focused on when we were at Africa Oil Week. We had actually a full day seminar of different U.S. government experts who are helping our partner countries advance their methane abatement goals, meet their climate goals, and at the same time, meet their energy security goals.
Then before we run out of time, just the last question. What resource would be afforded to the Namibian nation following the MOU signing that would benefit us in growing this new sector, which everyone is hopeful for to make a social impact, as well as how best can Namibia leverage from these opportunities?
So I'd say, the MOU is bringing to bear about 12 U.S. government agencies into the picture who bring different things to the table. Some bring technical expertise. State Department's Bureau of Energy Resources has some technical expertise, as well as Department of Energy, Department of Commerce. But also we have some of these financing institutions like the Development Finance Corporation, the Export Import Bank. So what we really want to do is make sure that all these efforts are harmonized to meet the needs of the Namibian people. And so we can work together, sit at the table with the Namibian government, talk about needs, and talk about how we best bring all these tools together to advance projects that will help Namibia meet its energy goals, certainly its energy access goals. I know it's really important to connect some communities that don't have access to electricity. Certainly something we want to be there to support and partner with the Namibian government to actualize. And like I said, the incredible solar and wind resources that you have in Namibia, the potential is really boundless. And it's a matter of really focusing all these resources together to make sure you can take advantage of them fully.
The Lead Story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.